Today we are in week three of a four-week series we are calling Mind Reset. Have you guys enjoyed this series so far? Been getting something out of this? It's good to hear. I know for me, many times in my life, I have needed a reset in my mind. There are times where I feel like I'm losing my mind. I feel like my thoughts are all over the place. I feel like I have some deep, dark thoughts, right? And so I just know it. There's times in my life I just need to press the reset button. And what I have found is a good time to press the reset button is going into the school year, because how many of y'all know we need Jesus, right, going into the school year. And so it's a good time to get our mind right going into the fall. So we do 21 days of prayer in the fall. And then also at the beginning of the year, in January, we do 21 days of prayer and fasting, coming out of the holidays, setting the year right. And it's just good times as we get into these new seasons to press the reset button. You may have found yourself in a place of needing to press the reset button. Maybe you feel that way now. Maybe you feel like, man, the kids are back in school, praise Jesus, and now I need to figure out how to function again, you know? You got through summer, you did so much, you got the kids back in school, now it's time to press reset and get your life back together. I know I feel that way. But in this series, we're trying to help you in attempting to help you to press the reset on your mindset. In the first week, we talked about how to win the battle that is taking place inside our minds. And we do that by identifying the lies, identifying the strongholds that Satan builds up in our minds. And then we replace them with the truth of God. And in doing so, we demolish them. We take these lies out. Last week, we talked about how to get our minds back, how to win our minds back, and how to get our mind right. And today, here's where I'm going. Here's what I want to talk about. Your negative thoughts. How do we overcome and how do we defeat the negative thoughts in our brain? I wonder how many of you here, even though your life is great, you got what you want, you're fulfilled, you still find yourself complaining a lot. Is anybody out there just a chronic complainer, you know? Just your life is good. Thank you for your honesty, people. Jesus saw that. Your life is good. You got what you need, but you just find yourself at times just complaining. You're complaining. You know, for me, I have so much to be thankful for, and I am, although this week I found myself complaining probably more than I ever have before. You might look at me and say, Jared, why are you acting so funny? I got to confess to you, church. Last Sunday, I broke a rib. So I'm doing my best holding it together for you, but if you hear me like shortness of breath or acting weird, it's because I literally broke a rib last week. And I told that to the first service, and then everyone asked me on the way out, how'd you do it? So I might as well just tell you guys. I was like, it's just, you know, you have these moments in life. You don't want to keep talking about it, but I'm in a public setting. I feel like I have to anything that I ever do. So let's just out with it. I hate trying to be the funny guy, and like that's just my life. I just am the one who wants to bring humor to a party. And we were hanging out with some friends after church. And you know how like your kids probably do this? They'll do the dolphin dive into the pool, you know? No hands, just dolphin dive, you know? Well, I did that into a couch, you know? And couches, I didn't know this, but couches have bars in the middle of the cushions. I just saw a fluffy couch dolphin dive. And a bar got me, and I had to go get x-rays, and I sure enough broke it. And so I am complaining, okay? And my family has to deal with it. My wife has to help me into bed. It's that bad. I'm in week one of a six-week journey, so you'll hear me complaining a few more times, I promise. It's funny, I have to tell you. I wasn't even going to tell the church, but what's going to happen is I'm going to go outside. Everyone's going to go, hey, pastor, and hit me. Because it happens all the time, and so there you go. So don't hit me, please. All right. So I've been complaining. Why do we do this? I'm just going to use myself for example. Whether it's a bad injury, maybe you've had a bad day, maybe you've had financial stress, you've had some relational pressure. We allow things that we go through in life to strip us of our gratitude. So instead of choosing to see what we're grateful for and what we have and what we're thankful for, we take time to dwell on that which we complain about. You know, what we've learned in this series so far about our minds, just a quick recap, is this, that our minds are a battlefield. And the battles of life are won or lost inside the mind. We've also learned that our life is moving in the direction of our strongest thoughts. So in other words, if the life that you have, you like it or you don't like it, you have it because it's a reflection of the thoughts that you think. And what we've learned is that what comes into our mind tends to come out in our life, and it's impossible to have a positive life with negative thoughts. So in this message, I want to help you to fight, to battle, to get rid of the negative thoughts. I want to review the theme verse for this series is 2 Corinthians 10:3-5. It says this, "For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ." There are lies that Satan is building inside of our minds, and they're called strongholds. And he's using these strongholds through your thought life to develop these lies and these strongholds inside your mind. So as he's actively trying to lie to you and build these strongholds, there's a role that you have to play in this as well. We don't allow Satan just to have a heyday with our mind and do what he wants to do. The Bible instructs us here in this verse, we use the dynamite power of God, the dunamis power of God, to demolish strongholds, demolish lies, demolish these arguments that Satan's trying to build up inside of us. How do we do that? We take every thought captive and we hold it in submission to Jesus. We stop allowing our thought life to control our life. And instead, we force our thoughts to become submitted to godly thoughts. It's time to eliminate the negative thinking and take control of your thoughts again. So if you're taking message notes, the title of today's message is this, Negating Negative Thoughts. How many of y'all want to get rid of some negative thoughts today? All right, here we go. We're going to try our best. So let's pray. Lord, thank you for what you're doing in our hearts and in our lives. God, would you speak to us today about our thinking and help us to remove the negative thoughts of our life. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, when it comes to apps and social media, I think the feature that changed everything was the filter. How many of y'all take photos with a filter? Come on, church, let's be honest right now. You're in church, you can't lie. Thank you, Tara, I appreciate your honesty, okay? I love it. Okay, only like okay, that means that everyone else is a liar because like four of us raised our hands. Okay, thank you, Avery. I see the hands, I see the, you know. We use this filter app. Sons are forcing moms to raise their hands, I like it. They're like, don't you lie, mom. You have me do the boomerang all the time, you know? It's my wife. The filter changed the way that we take photos, the way that we post on social media, and even the way that we play games. I remember my son, I saw, my son's a big Hulk fan, okay? Judah's a big Hulk fan. And I saw a filter that people were posting on social media of the Hulk, and it would like transform their mind, and it would like, you know, and so I was like, this will just be fun for me and Judah. So I have no idea how to download it. So I asked a professional, Miss Beth Ann, and I said, how do I get this filter? I have no idea. And so she coached me up, told me how to do it. And so me and Judah just sat there for hours, just like doing film and just putting this Hulk filter on it. Filters are fun. They can change things and kind of make it fun. Whether you're taking photos of your family, you want to beef them up a little bit, you know, make them look a little, you know, prettier than the family you have. I mean, you can do that. Maybe your spouse or whatever. But let me just give you an example. There was an app that kind of swept the nation during COVID. And you probably have been on this app before. But look at this handsome man right here, okay? This is, yes, thank you. I appreciate it. Okay, so this is the app that you would download and you would take a photo of yourself. And this is what it looks like. You remember this app? Boom. You remember Face App? Anybody ever played with Face App? Anybody? The Chinese have all your information. That's all I know about it. That's actually serious. But so you play this app, and this it tells you how like what you will look like when you're older, which I'm very happy with the result. Okay, just want you to know. So is my wife. So I had fun with this. So let me just show you one more, just because it's fun. I took Judah, my son, and I just was curious what he'd look like when he's older. So this is what he's gonna look like. So that kind of does look like Grampy. That is like. That apple does not fall far from that tree. Grampy, spitting image. I love it. That's so funny. I didn't see that before. That's good. Filters are fun. You know, filters are fun. But what's so funny about a filter is it doesn't change who the person is. It changes the way that we see that person. So it didn't change me. It didn't change Jude. It just changed the way that we saw them. The facts don't change. The filter is what changes. And the filter changes the way that we are now perceived. We are no different, but the way that you perceive us is now changed. The facts are not different. The filter is different. So the reality is this is no longer reality. It's a distorted reality because you are now seeing something that I want you to see. Could it be that we are seeing things the way that we're seeing them? They might be viewed through a filter and not reality. Maybe the things that we're seeing in life, we are viewing them through a filter, not the reality. Now, as we've studied the brain and how our minds work, we've been talking about some of these scientific terms. Here's another one for you I want to talk about a little bit today. It's called a cognitive bias. What's a cognitive bias? A cognitive bias is what we might call a default filter. This is when our brain is pre-wired to think a certain way, even when our interpretation is not completely accurate. The way that you perceive things, the way that you see things goes through your cognitive bias, through a filter. This is why two separate people can have the same exact experience yet come out with two separate outcomes. It's not the facts that changes, it's the filter, it's the perception. So how does this play out? Let me give you a few examples. Let's look at our work. You could have a supervisor that takes a team of two people and gives them a piece of feedback. Two people experience the same exact feedback, the same exact facts, but have two separate outcomes. One could walk away and say negatively, man, he's always on me. I never make him happy. My work is never good enough for him, and he's just the worst boss ever. But yet his counterpart who received the same exact feedback might walk away and say, man, he's always making me better. With his help, I will move up in this company. He is just the best boss ever. Same facts, two filters. The facts don't change, the filter changes. What about in church? Two people, maybe a married couple, could walk into church, experience the same exact service, the same exact set of facts, and yet go home and have two separate outcomes. One could respond negatively and say, man, all those Christians are hypocrites. I can't believe they raised their hands and worship. That music is too loud. That preacher is too young. I bet they just want my money. I hate this place and I'm never coming back. I've heard all of those, all right? And now the counterpart receives the same exact set of circumstances. And they may walk away and say, man, these people are so friendly. I love their passion for God. I really enjoy the music. That preacher is so wise. Thank you. I wrote this message. I look forward to giving to God. I love this place. I'm definitely coming back. Same exact set of circumstances, two separate outcomes, same facts, two filters. We see it in the news. We see it in politics. Same sequence of events takes place that we all see, and depending on how we see it, what news outlet we receive it from, what side we're on, will determine our response to it. Same facts, just a different filter. We even see it in Scripture. We see the chosen people of God were freed from the bondage of Pharaoh, where Moses came in and freed the chosen people of God and led them into the wilderness in pursuit of the promised land. These people, the nation of Israel, was in pursuit of the promised land. They get to the promised land. They send in 12 spies to check out the promised land, the gift that God was giving them. No need to check it out, but they thought they needed to do so anyway, so they sent in 12 spies. The 12 spies came back, and they had different reports. Two of the spies came back with a faith-filled report, and they encouraged the people, this is our land. God's given us this land. Let's go take the land. This is a good thing. And 10 people came back with a fear-based report, and they led the entire nation into wandering until they died. These men, they came in and they said, man, these giants, there's giants in the land. They're massive giants. We can't take this land. remind you, it was never to take. It was a gift from God to be given. And they said this, and I quote, they said, we feel like grasshoppers in their eyes. I bet you no one interviewed the giants and asked the giants, how do you see us? Because the giants did not perceive them as grasshoppers. It was their perception of the giants that led them to feel like grasshoppers. It was simply a filter. The facts did not change for these 12, but the filter changed. I find it fascinating that we see this in Scripture, that 10 out of 12 had a negative report. Do you find that in our culture, it seems like everyone comes back with a negative outcome? People are genuinely negative. We see it in Scripture. We see it in our culture. It is easy to become negative. And in a negative world, positive people stand out. You know, it's important for us to understand that we view facts through a filter. It's almost impossible for you not to do that. You will view life through your filter. And it's imperative that we don't judge things and the issues of life through our filter, but instead through the facts. So you got to figure out, how do we view things and see it from God's perspective opposed through our filter? We need to be aware of our cognitive bias. But there's another scientific term that I want to introduce to you that we also need to be aware of, and that's called cognitive reframing. If bias is a filter, reframing is this. Reframing is creating a different way of looking at a situation or relationship by changing its meaning. So depending on how you go through an experience and what you experience in a situation, you get to choose the meaning of it. You get to determine how you're going to view that situation. Here's an example on how to reframe a day. I have this beautiful picture up here. You're probably wondering, what is he doing? I'm really into art, guys, like so into art. It's not even funny. No, I'm not. That's a lie. This is a cool picture. You know, we got the storm and sunshine and a boat, you know. So let's just think about it in our day. We can think about our day and say, man, I got a picture frame here. Man, today's going to be a terrible day. This is going to be a rocky day. It's going to be a dark day. I hate my commute to work. I hate it. I hate the people I work with. I hate the coffee that they give. I hate the snacks. They don't even give snacks, you know. They don't even give me free pens. You know, I hate everything about my job. I hate the people I work with. My boss is an idiot. I could do it better than him. I can't wait to get home and drink. That's pretty much a lot of people's perspective, right? This is my day. You can frame it. Or you could say, man, I can't wait to get up. This is going to be a bright day. It's going to be a beautiful day. I love my commute to work. I love the people I work with. My boss is a genius. Community coffee that they serve is amazing. You get to pick which part of your day you're going to frame. It's your decision. This is cognitive framing. You see, you can't control what happens to you, but you can control how you frame it. So let's slow down and get practical for a moment. I wonder how many of you here have always wanted something for your life. You've always believed something for your life. Something's going to happen. I really want this to happen to my life. But life has happened, and now you're at this point that you're kind of beginning to believe maybe it will never happen. Maybe I'll never get that which I've always been wanting for my life. Let's think about our marriage. Let's say you always wanted to share life with someone. You wanted to raise kids with a partner. You wanted to travel together. You want to sit on the couch and snuggle together at night. And because of life's ups and downs, you find yourself maybe never getting this. Maybe it's through a divorce, you feel like you'll never get it again. Or maybe you're still single and you never got to experience this, and now you're hurt, you're lost, you're searching. You may not get what you always wanted. What about work? Let's say you went to college, you got your degree in the field that you absolutely love. You spent the first part of your career in that field because you wanted to be in this field the rest of your life. But due to life circumstances, you now find yourself in a job that's totally unrelated to your passion, and you feel like, I'm just meant for more. I'm not where I'm passionate about. There's got to be more to life than this. What's it for you? Maybe you thought you would retire by now. Maybe you thought you'd be married by now. Maybe you thought that you'd be working in your dream job by now. Maybe you thought you'd be financially stable by now. Maybe you thought you'd have all the debt paid off by now. Maybe you thought that your relationship with your kids would be different by this point. Have you ever woken up and thought to yourself, this isn't what I thought it would be like? I thought things would be different. You know, the Apostle Paul, we've been studying him throughout this series. He felt the same way, and he could identify with you. Paul knew that if there was one place that he could advance the gospel and preach about Jesus, it would be Rome, the epicenter. So Paul goes to Rome and begins to preach, only to become arrested and thrown into prison to be executed. So here Paul, he can't preach to the masses, but instead he's confined to a jail cell waiting his execution. Paul could go into the framing process. He could come and say, man, I can't believe I'm in jail. Why did God ever call me into the ministry? I wish he never saved me on that road to Damascus. Here I am trying to preach the gospel to a group of people that don't want the gospel. You know what? Maybe I should stop and let them just go to hell because that's where they want to go. But of course, as we know, Paul, he didn't have that mindset. Instead, I want to read the scripture to you. This was his mindset, Philippians 1, 12 through 14. He starts here. He says, now I want to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. I've been in chains. What has happened to me, people did put me in prison, but it's for a greater cause. The cause is to advance the gospel. The verse continues. As a result, he goes back taking it. As a result, it's become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains to Christ. I'm in prison. Next verse. And because of my chains, most of my brothers and sisters have actually become confident in the Lord and dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear. There was a point to the madness. There was a point to his persecution. He starts here, yes, it is bad. Yes, it is dark. Yes, it is gloomy. It doesn't look good. However, there's a greater purpose that it's fulfilling. You get to shape and reframe the situation. I laughed because Paul, as he was confined and in prison, they locked him to a prison guard. So every 8 hours, these prison guards had a rotation. So Paul thought, if I'm going to be locked to this guy, he's going to know about Jesus. I got 8 hours to convince this guy about Jesus. He got to still preach the gospel. He still got to advance the gospel because he reframed his mind. And I think many of us just get defeated. Say, you know what? It's not the way that I thought it was going to be. I'm just going to stop. I'm going to quit. It's too hard. Doesn't make any sense. Reframing is important. It's not the facts that are different. It's our framing. You see, filters and frames will shape the way that you see the facts. So I want to help you teach you today how to reframe your story and reframe your relationships. Because in life, you're going to have to deal with a lot of nonsense. You've probably figured this out by now, but there's relationship nonsense, marriage nonsense, kids nonsense, work nonsense, health nonsense, ribs, news nonsense. There's so much nonsense out there that you're just going to have to deal with. And for most of us, life is great most of the time. But then there's times that we just allow the nonsense to get in the way, to affect our thinking, to spin us to a negative place. So I want to give you three ways to reframe your thoughts so we can learn to reset our mindset. Here's point number one, 3 points today. Think about what never happened. I love this. Think about what never happened. Take time to think about what didn't happen and thank God for that. Let me tell you a story. Hopefully it will make some sense. But I heard a story of a girl who came home from college. She sat her parents down on the couch and said, Mom and Dad, please don't freak out. Let me tell you what happened. She said, I went out one night, started drinking. I met a guy. We hooked up, and now I'm pregnant. Don't worry. I'm going to drop out of school. I'm going to take care of this baby. This man who got me pregnant, he's in prison right now. But whenever he gets out, we're going to raise this kid together. Don't freak out. Mom and Dad, I'm just kidding. I got a D. Some of y'all parents right now, I saw you. You're like, oh, man, I hope this never happens to me. Sometimes we need to take time to think about what didn't happen and appreciate that. Maybe for you, you've been waiting and waiting and waiting for a bonus, for a raise to come, and it's never coming. And so you just say, man, my boss hates me. Maybe I don't belong in this business. They're just cheap and trying to save some money. You can think about what never happened, or you could say, you know what? Thank God I do have a job. Thank God that I have a job in this economy. Thank God that he does provide for me. Or maybe you could, for you, it's your spouse. Maybe your spouse calls and says, hey, we got in a car wreck. The kids are okay, but the car is demolished. And you could say, man, insurance world, I got to fight insurance, I got to pay money and file a claim. Man, how much money is it going to cost to get this car up and going? Man, just what a disaster. Or you could say, thank God my family's okay. Thank God that we have a car. It's proper perspective here. Instead of being so consumed through negative thinking, it's time to take a step back. Take a step back, look at it, and change the frame. Change the frame. That's the first thing. Think about what never happened. Hopefully that helps you today. Here's a second one. I like this one too. Think about how you'll respond in a situation. Take a moment. Before anything happens, and predetermine how you will respond in the moment of your future response. The reason is because your predetermined thoughts will determine the outcome of a future situation. This is called practicing pre-framing. We're going to practice how we will respond. We're going to pre-frame it. So that way, when it happens, we're not caught off guard by it. So what does this look like? Let's say this. Let's talk about work. As you go into a meeting, instead of saying, man, this is going to be a terrible meeting, I'm not looking forward to this, I don't like the people I work with, I don't like this subject, it's going to be a disaster of a meeting. I just know it already. It's going to be a disaster. You could change it and say, this is going to be the best meeting ever. I know it might have some challenges, but I got a great team. God will be with me. My heart is pure. The outcome will be great. This will be a great meeting. It's pre-framing. How are you going to go? What's your mindset going into it? Let's think about, this is a good one for me, kids' activities. I hate birthday parties. It's like our kids, I got three of them, and it's another birthday party. It's another school event. And I'm like, do I have to go? I got more important things to do, you know? I don't even like these people. I like my church. I don't like these people, you know? Like, they go to another church. I don't have to like them, you know? Like, Or I could say, man, this is going to be a great birthday party. It's going to be a great another team. I love cookouts. I love them. And we're going to create some memories that we'll talk about for years. I don't know what it's for you, but the way that we frame a situation is how we perceive a situation. Let me just tell you how this plays out for me. When I was newly married and beginning to have kids, I sought out a mentor. I was a pastor, and I found a dad in the youth group that I really admired. I looked up to him. I thought, here's a good tip when you're looking for a mentor. What do you want to look like when you're in their season of life? He was years down the road, and I saw his life, and I'm like, that's what I want my future to look like. So he started mentoring me. Now, he was teaching me one day. I mean, he would always come prepared, and we would learn. I'd learn. I mean, it was like school. And then one day, he taught me this concept of pre-framing. So he actually said this. He said, Jared, you need to have some predetermined responses to potential emergencies in your life. Never heard this concept up until this point. He said this. He said, decide today and practice what you will say if your daughter comes home and says she's pregnant. That's a terrible thing to think about, but it's important to think about how you're going to respond. You're going to pre-frame some things. Decide today, practice what you will say when you get a call that one of your parents has passed away. Practice. Predetermine. And as God is my witness, this was God, because he said, decide today, practice what you will say if your wife calls and says that she's been in a car accident. As he's teaching me this, his phone rings, he pulls it out, it's his wife, and she's in a car accident. And I'm like watching, oh, I can't do that. I'm watching, I'm like this, I'm like watching his response, and he was calm, he was cool. Oh baby, it's okay, it'll be okay, are the kids okay? Hey, it's just metal, it'll be all right, we'll get it fixed. And that marked me. I mean, because he was prepared. I would have been like, say what? How much they say it's going to cost? Like, did you run? Did you run? You know, like, you didn't give him insurance, did you? You know, like, that would be my response at that moment, you know. It's only hit and run if they catch you. Sorry, that's bad. That's bad. Don't do that. Yeah. You see, he pre-framed for the potentiality of a particular situation. Let's think through our life. Let's pre-frame, practice for the potentiality of a particular situation, because nonsense happens. So we think about what never happened. We think about how we'll respond. Here's the third thing. We'll close with this. Think about the goodness of God. Think about the goodness of God. It's the power of your thinking, and it sounds so, this is biblical topics. Even Pastor Johnny said it in his worship time, but as a man thinks, so is he. So how we think is important. So you get to decide what you think about. If you want to think about negative thoughts, if you want to think about worst case scenarios, you want to think about how bad your life is, how terrible your marriage is, how your kids hate you, if you just want to live in that world, how much you hate people, how much you don't want to be around people, how much you hate grocery shopping, you know, just like, if you just want to live in that world, if you don't have negative thoughts, you're going to have a negative outcome. You're going to breathe the consequences of fear-based scenarios and negative outcomes. Or you can think about God. You can think about the faithfulness of God. You can live in the clouds here and say, God is for me. He's not against me. He'll never leave me nor forsake me. He has a plan and a purpose for my life. What are you thinking about? Are you thinking about the worst case scenarios? Or are you thinking about the goodness of God? It's the difference between a vulture and a hummingbird. A vulture flies around looking for that which is dead and decaying. A hummingbird flies around looking for something sweet. You can choose what you think about. You can choose what you pursue and what you fill your mind with. Dead things or sweet things. When we think about what's wrong with the world, you think about what's wrong in politics, you think about what's wrong in your marriage, what's wrong with your kids, what's wrong at work, you will live a negative, depressing life. However, when you think about the goodness of God, you think about how he's in control, you think about how he's on the throne, that he'll never leave you nor forsake you, that he's good and powerful, and that he loves you enough to be involved in your life. And you can look back at your life and say, I'm not where I want to be, but thank God I'm not where I used to be. He's brought me this far. Why would he drop me now? You know, when you go through counseling, a counselor will look at you and use these terminologies. They'll say about cognitive reframing. They'll say, reframe the situation or the event that happened to you, and you determine the outcome. You determine what that event meant to you. It's important because we can allow that situation to minister to us instead of hurt us. So we're going to reframe that situation. But I'm just going to challenge you today, maybe in some prayer time later, take an event, a situation of your life, and allow God to reframe it. Allow Jesus to decide the meaning of an event or situation. Let him reframe it for you. Let him speak to you. I know how this played out in my life, and when I look back on my life and I pinpoint the most painful and lowest point of my life, it would be when we planted this church. And I know I talk about it, but it's because that season marked me. I learned so much about God in that season. So when we started this church, we didn't start it the way that we thought we would. I didn't have the support that I thought I would have. I didn't have the money I thought I would have. I didn't have the location I thought I would have. I didn't have the team that I thought I would have. I went into starting the church with so much expectations that I felt like it was all taken away from me in a moment. We had to change the date. We had to change the location, change the team. I had to change everything. So I could have said in the moment, and I want you to catch the words of this. In this moment, this low season, I could have said this, and I was feeling it for sure. God, you're taking away from me. God, you are stripping me. God, you're making me into someone that I'm not. God, why are you doing this? This is how I felt. But in going through the process, he changed me. He transformed me. I became a different person and a different pastor. I'm a different man today because of what I went through. And now, I'm going to try it. You get the point. I can't do it. Now listen to my words. God, you were taken away from me. God, you were stripping me. God, you were making me into someone that I wasn't. God, thank you for doing that. The same words. The same words. But now it's a mind shift. It's a way to reframe my situation. And now I see what God was doing all along. It's time to reframe our life. It's time to reject the unhealthy, negative thoughts that the enemy is trying to feed inside of you. We are deciding today that we will not passively receive the negative circumstances, but instead we will actively choose a positive outcome. Think about this. We're not interpreting the goodness of God through our circumstances, but instead we're interpreting our circumstances through the goodness of God. We're going to allow him to speak to us. We're going to allow him to determine it for us. You cannot control what happens to you, but you can control how you frame it. Do not be conformed to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We're going to renew our minds by choosing to reframe our circumstances. We're going to think about what never happened. We're going to thank God for it. We're going to think about how to respond to potential situations in life. And we're going to think upon the goodness of God. This is how you negate the negative thoughts. Would you pray with me? I just want to give you a moment just to talk to God. Let him talk to you. I believe there's something in this message that he wants to speak to you. There's something he wants to encourage you with. There's something he wants to help you with. Just take a moment and see what he shows you. See what he tells you. Father, I just thank you that you love us enough not to allow us to just wallow in our negative thoughts, to suffer from them, to be stuck in them, to live in them. But instead, you're giving us a way out. You're helping us to reframe our situation, to see what happened to us was not you. The enemy does things that are meant for evil, to hurt you, to destroy you, but God comes in and he repurposes them to give you life, to do something inside of you. There's something that the enemy has taken from you. There's something that the enemy is trying to hurt you with, but God will turn it around for his good. So Lord, when we go through these times of stripping, we go through these times of pain, transition, Lord, would you enable us in this moment to see it from your perspective? Because culture wants us just to be mad at you because it's always your fault. But in this moment, we choose to be grateful. And I want to close like I always do. If you've never made a decision to follow Jesus, to begin a relationship with Jesus, to trust Jesus, maybe you've never trusted Jesus, never begun a relationship with him, or maybe you've kind of fallen away. I want to lead you in a prayer today that would help you to give your life to Jesus or give your life back to Jesus. Just right where you're at, I just want you to lead you in a prayer of commitment to him. Right where you're at, just say, Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross in my place for my sins. Today, I believe in you, and I ask you to be the Lord and Savior of my life. Change me from the inside out. Make me into the kind of person that you want me to be, and I commit to living for you the rest of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Quick clap and celebrate those who prayed that prayer. Amen.